He's a pastor in a church in Calgary. He's also a teacher at a seminary college in Calgary, and he was teaching a class on preaching. So he was teaching a class that taught preachers how to preach. And in this class, he had a guest speaker come one day, and the guest speaker said, long and short, sorry, Jake, I got a really bad echo. The long and short, the preacher said, the difference between a good message and an okay message is to whether or not that message was received. So it went about the classroom as to how do we know how whether or not a message was received. And there was thoughts about, well, could the people remember the next week? Or was there a lot of, you know, amen during the sermon? Were people responsive? Was there a lot of communication between the congregation? And it went about, and they had this conversation about how they knew the message was received. And at one point in this message, he took a $20 bill out of his pocket, and he handed it in his hand, and he said, who wants this $20 bill? Who wants this $20? And as we tend to do when we're in a room full of strangers, really, everybody just kind of went, ha, 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 you're funny. And so he found the oldest guy in the room, and the oldest guy in the room's name was Earl. And he took this $20 bill, and he walked right up to Earl. And as he got closer and closer and closer to Earl, Earl got farther and farther back in his chair. And his arms came across his chest like this, and he kind of leaned his chair back onto two legs. And as he got closer, Earl pulled farther back. And he walked up to Earl, and went to hand him the $20 bill, and he said, Earl, I want you to have this. And Earl's first question, well, why? Well, what do you want me to do with it? Well, I don't care, Earl. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me I want to give you this $20. And Earl was still apprehensive. He said, well, you want me to go do something good with it then, right? Like, you want me to take it and, like, give it to somebody that's homeless or hand it to somebody or give it to somebody or whatever. And he's just like, Matt, sure, if you want to. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't care what you do with it, Earl. I want to give you this $20. And still Earl was apprehensive. And he said, well, fine, I'll take it, but I'll give it back to you after class. And of course, he's like, Earl, like, seriously, Matt, I don't want it. Like, I'm giving it to you. And still Earl was like, well, why? And this guy was just like, buddy, like, will you take it? So finally, after a lot of back and forth and convincing this man, Earl reaches out way out over the aisle, grabs this money like it's a dead rat, and he picks it up and he swings it way across the front of his desk and he sets it right in the front corner, about as far away from his physical person as he could possibly get, this $20 bill. And he said, okay, fine. And he just lays it there. He doesn't touch it. It's not even touching his pencil. It's way as far away as he could go. And as this guy, he turns around, he goes to walk back down to the podium. And as he turns around, Earl says, I'll come back and give it to you after class. So he shook his head and went back down to the podium and he said, you know, I have done this demonstration hundreds of times. He said, I've given away thousands and thousands of dollars. Because when I first started doing this, he goes, I was a poor student. I give away $5. Now it's up to 20. And he said, the funny thing is that every time I do this in a class of adults, this is exactly the response I get. This is exactly what ends up happening. The person that I come to is very apprehensive. They want to know what I want to do with it. And they're very hesitant to take my money. He said, but I'll tell you, I do this in a class of 5 to 7-year-olds. And guess what the response is? He said, I take a $5 bill out of my pocket in our church's Sunday school class, and I said, who wants this? And he goes, and you can see there is like 15 eyes on me, and there's, ooh, 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 me, ooh, me, ooh, ooh, over here. And it's everybody trying to possibly get my attention. And he says, it's a very, 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 very different response that they get. Every eye is watching me as I walk through the room. Nobody is letting that $5 bill out of their sight. In comparison with the adults where they're like, oh, he's giving it to that guy. Whew, not singling me out. No, every eye is watching me as I walk around this room with this money in my hand. And he said, when I finally choose a kid, he goes, I make them wait. But he said, when I finally choose a kid, they grab that $5 bill and they shove it so deep into their pocket that they're going to need an excavation team to get that money out. And he said, that child only has three fears in the whole world. One is I'm going to ask them to give it back. The second fear is that some other adult is going to tell them that they have to give it back. And their third fear is that some adult is going to make them go and do something good with it. That is the only thing that a kid is afraid of when it comes to getting this money. So the question the speaker asked that class was, which one of those two groups received that money? Which one was received? Which bill was received? Our scripture that we read, the end of our scripture that we read for this morning was Mark 10, verse 13 to 16. If you have your Bibles, feel free to turn with me there. And it says, the people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on them and he blessed them. You see, up to this point I had been confused, if not baffled in my mind, about why the scriptures sometimes talk about being childlike and other times it talks about don't be childlike. And I knew scripture didn't contradict itself. And I was baffled because in parts, other parts of scripture, from Paul especially, we hear things like this in 1 Corinthians 29:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And so I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, this isn't the only place. Because 1 Corinthians 14, again from Paul, he says, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regards to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. So I was confused up to this point as to why all of a sudden it seems that Paul is telling us be childlike when here Jesus is saying, or Paul is telling us don't be childlike, where here Jesus is saying be like a child or you'll never get to heaven. You'll never receive the kingdom of heaven. Why would God say through Paul one thing and through Jesus something else? But it became clear to me when I was listening to Mark's message that day that Jesus doesn't say be childlike. He says receive like a child. And that's where the difference is. So our thing we're going to look at today, we're going to take a look today at ways that we as adults, or even as we grow, we forget how to receive. We're going to look at how a child receives. First thing we're going to say, child receives eagerly. I was teaching Christian living at the Clive School this past year. And grade 5 class, so right around that, 10, 11-ish age. So they're still very childlike, but they really want to be big kids. And I was teaching this Christian living class, and every day that I was teaching, I would bring a little bag of little candies, Jolly Ranchers or whatever. And so the first 5-10 minutes of every class, we were doing review. And if they got a question right, they would then get a candy. It blew me away, and it always does blow me away, how motivated children are by a Jolly Rancher. Right? What you can get a kid to do for a Jolly Rancher, right? I can get those kids to memorize passages if I gave them a pack of Jolly Ranchers. So it was funny to me, and I mean, when I would ask a question, literally, if they could have dislocated their shoulder to reach 1 inch higher in the air, they would have. Guaranteed. Their teacher had a very firm, you have to stay sitting on your bum rule in their seats, and I swear, if they could have stapled their pants to their seats so that they could have lifted their body up just that, like, one more inch just to get their hands up, they would have. And it didn't matter where I walked in that room. If I walked way over by the teacher's desk, if I walked away, one time I had my phone in my pocket and it was going off, so I just threw it in my bag. They followed my eyes the whole time. Why? Because I had a Jolly Rancher in my hand. They wanted that prize. They were eager for that thing. And when they got the question right, when they knew they had got the question right, they went right from here to here. They're in catch position. They were ready. They knew something good was coming, and they did not care who they had to watch to get it. They receive eagerly. Kids don't care if they look foolish. They don't care what the person beside them is going to think that they're a goody-goody. They got the candy. That is all that matters in that moment, in that point in their life. They got the candy. That is it. They received that thing that they wanted. There's no second thought. There's no apprehension, no wondering. When they get that candy in their hand, there's nothing but pure joy. And then checking what color it is. Right? Pure joy. And the funny thing is that people would often think that a kid, when they're really eager for something, will like plow over other kids to get what they want. But that's a learned thing. They don't learn that till they're bigger. You see, little children, when they see something, they tend to be very, very, very eager, but they're conscious of those around them. They're very conscious not to step on others to the point of running someone over to get what they want. And I'm afraid, I hate to say, that God has shown me times in the past where I have done just this thing. And I think before you think I'm nuts or some kind of crazy person, think about for yourself. Have you ever thought in your mind when someone else is doing God's work, if they would just let me do it, I would have this done by now? Have you ever thought, well, if I go to this thing, if they would just feed me, if they would just feed my spirit, then I would be closer to God? You know, I seen a cartoon once. It was Pastor Appreciation Week, and so I seen this cartoon once, and it was the pastor standing up at the front of the church, and all these thought bubbles from the congregation, and this one said, you know, feed my spirit, and this one said, convict the sinners, and this one said, teach me something happy, and all of these other thoughts that our pastors have to muddle around, and then we get in our minds, and we get these thoughts, well, if they would just feed me the way I want them to, then I'd be closer to God. And I'm afraid, church, that we're often in that mindset. We often think that if people will do things the way we want them to, that we will be closer to God. We want more, but are we using someone else as a stepping stone to get it? See, children do receive eagerly, but they don't receive selfishly. Kids also receive very innocently. If you really watch, there's no skepticism when it comes to children. There's no wondering why. If I were to hand my 4-year-old a chocolate bar, he wouldn't wonder why I had given it to him. He wouldn't wonder what I wanted from him in result of that. He wouldn't wonder if he then owed me something. Right? Our kids, they receive very innocently. They take something and they just hold it and they love it and it's wonderful. And I think part of the reason why we have forgotten how to receive is that we've actually forgotten how to give. Sorry, am I stepping on that thing and it's making things go funky? We've forgotten how to give. And I think that that's part of the reason why we have forgotten how to receive. See, kids do. They do receive very, very, very innocently. We just had Christmas, right? Who here, you don't have to put your hands up because I know probably every one of us, received an unexpected gift from someone, and their first thought that crossed their mind when they received that gift was, oh no, I don't have anything for them. It's something we've learned in our Western culture especially. The gifts are no longer free. We've developed this mindset that a gift is actually, we can't give one without receiving. It has to be a two-way street, right? We can't receive a gift without feeling like we owe that person, and we can't give a gift without feeling like we are owed. We have very much forgotten what a gift actually means. And Scripture actually talks a lot about gifting, giving. When you look a lot into Scripture, it talks about all over the place. But the Scripture that came to my mind when I was preparing for this was actually in Mark. But when we're looking at, it's talking about charity. But when we talk about charity, the dictionary defines charity as the voluntary giving of help, typically in the form of money, to those in need. That is how Webster defines charity. Webster defines a gift as a thing given willingly to someone without payment or a present. So I don't know about you, but to me, the words voluntarily and willingly are very closely related. Both should be without a repaying. So Matthew 6, verse 3 to 4 says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing." See, I think we have forgotten the true meaning of a gift. I think we truly have forgotten what it means to give. We give all the time. But do we give or do we loan? Do we expect to see something specific out of our gift? Do we set expectations or limitations on what we have given? As in, when we give, do we expect to be given a say in the works of the receiver? As in, the more we give, the more say we should have? See, we give at church. We give on our Sunday, we put it in the offering plate. But do we then sit there and think that that gives us a say or more say because we gave more than the guy beside us? See, I'm afraid, church, that giving in a way has not become a gift at all, but an investment. And we've started to look at giving in that way. In all our circumstances, not just when we're sitting in this building, but in all circumstances, we have forgotten how to give. And I think one of the reasons is that we've forgotten how to receive, is that we've forgotten what it truly means to give a gift. How many times have you heard someone say, "I would give to the homeless, but they'll probably go drink it away"? So, what if they do? But what if they don't? Are you using, or are we using, our failure to receive and failure to understand a gift to limit what we can give? You see, children receive with no hidden agenda. They receive with no ands, no ifs, no buts, only gratitude and excitement. There is no, "if I take this, then I have to" thought questioning, especially when it comes to the littler ones. And finally, children receive fully. Kids receive, if I hand my kids, especially the littler ones, if I hand them a chocolate bar, they don't just take a little bite and hand it back. No. Hopefully, they say, "Thank you, Mommy," and not just bolt. They get chocolate and out the door. Hopefully they say, "Thank you, Mommy," but they don't think that they have to give it back. No, they receive fully. And just like the kids in the example Mark shared with us at Gull Lake about the money, they shove it so deep into their pocket that you're going to literally have to take the seam out of that pocket in order to get that thing out. I don't know how many times I have washed chocolate bars or like the little balls, you know, that little chocolate ball. I don't even buy them anymore because we just wash them because they're so deep in their pocket that they just forget they're there. Because children receive so fully. Think about if someone you cared about, someone you knew well, walked out of Clive Village Foods, our little store here in town, and they had a chocolate bar in their hand, and they saw you looking, Reese's, yummy. And they offered you that chocolate bar, what would our first response be? As an adult, as an older person, what would our first response be? Maybe, "Oh, thank you." Take off a gracious little nibble and way less than we'd want. But think about if you handed that to a 3-year-old.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being kind and generous and not taking all of someone's treat. But indulge me if you will. How would a three-year-old receive that if they were offered it? You see, we do learn as we grow to become mature and kind and polite and gracious and all of those wonderful things. And I believe that that's what God's talking about when he's referring to not acting like a child. When he's referring to putting our childish ways behind us, he's talking about those kind of things. He's saying, you don't need to be greedy in things of life. You don't need to be selfish in things of life. But when it comes to the kingdom, when it comes to the gifts received by the Spirit, he says receive like a child. See, God tries to give us these gifts every single day. Every day, he said, we can pray. We sit there, we say the Lord's Prayer. And we say, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. How many of us are actually receiving that? How many of us are willing to receive that? If the Spirit were to be there and with you, how many of us are receiving like a child when God is trying to give us a gift? He puts a word in our mind for someone. He gives this gift to us. How do we receive that? How many of us are receiving like an adult? I know I absolutely. We think that maybe, well, I didn't actually get that. Or maybe, okay, no, God gave me this thing, so now I have to go do this good thing for him. I have to repay him. Now, I was raised in a Catholic church, and it was very much a works-based thought. And so in my mind, that's still a huge struggle in my mind, is the fact that I think, well, good, you have to do things for that. I mean, even when you went to confession, they're like, okay, these are your penance. This is what you have to do to earn your confession. And so sometimes we get stuck in this thought in our mind when God tries to give us a gift of some sort. He says, here, have this chocolate bar. And we're like, but what do you want me to do with it? What do you want me to do with that, God? Do you want me to do something real good with it? Just give to the poor and do all these things? And God says, I just want you to have it. That's it. So my question to all of us today is, how are we receiving the gifts of our King? Scripture is full, packed full of gifts that God is trying to give to us. Gifts of wisdom, gifts of understanding, gifts of revelation, spiritual gifts of healing and prayer and intercession. And he is trying to pour these things into us, but how are we receiving them? Are we receiving them like a five-year-old that's ooing and, okay, God, it's me, I will take it. Me, right here, God, me. I'll take that one. Me. Ooh, over here. Are we trying to dislocate our shoulder just to reach that little bit higher? That maybe God will see that one? If I put just one finger? Or are we reaching out to God and taking this gift like a dead rat and laying it out on the podium of our life and being like, okay, God, I took it. Stay in there until you tell me what you want me to do with it. And we do that. So how are we receiving the gifts of our King, Church? How are we willing to take what God's trying to give to you? How many of us have forgotten how to receive like a kid when it comes to the kingdom of God? We're going to pray, and while we pray, I'll ask Pastor Rick and Greg to come on up. No, that's your last name. Sorry, I do that to Tom all the time. Or Tom, people do that to Tom all the time. I'll ask our worship team to come up, but we're going to pray first. Sorry. God, I just want to thank you for the gifts that you give to us. God, I want to thank you that you every day try to bestow gifts on us. That you every day, God, if we ask, you are pouring out your gifts to us. Your word talks about how even an earthly father can give good gifts to their children. But God, you are so much more. And the gifts that you give to us, God, are so much more than anything that we could even understand on this planet. So God, I pray that every day as we wake up, every day the first voice in our mind, the first thing that we hear, God, the first identity that we accept, God, is you saying, good morning, my child, what would you like today? God, I pray that as we receive your gifts, as you try to give us your gifts, God, that we would truly open our hands and receive them. That, God, that we would take those gifts and we would hold them so tight and that we would shove them so deep into our heart that Satan can't even find it to take it away. God, I pray that as we go into your word, that you reveal your gifts to us, that you give us the gift of revelation. God, I pray that as we seek you, we find you. I thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you have come and made all this possible. I thank you, God, that you try every day to give us good gifts. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in us to help us to know how to use these gifts. And God, right now I just take time and repent of the times that I have taken your gifts ungratefully. God, I repent of the times that I have received your gifts like a dead rat. And I ask, God, that you would just give us another chance. Teach us to receive, God. Teach us to take your gifts to our hearts. And thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you that through your name and through your power and authority, we can work in these gifts. Congregation, if you would just join me in saying the Lord's Prayer, where we ask God for his kingdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.